Hey, this is the MMA talk show, man. What the fuck is up? Beat him up like a million uppercuts. Got a million doubled up for the fuck of it. Shit, get on my level. You can get on my... Anyway, that's a Lil Wayne song. You probably know it. But what's up? Glad to be here for this week's episode featuring the guys from the BTC 13. It's 13, all right? Yeah. BTC 13 lineup. Vinny Diaz. And the samurai himself, Gabe Sagman. Really happy to have the chance to speak to both of these guys who will be competing on the BTC card. For our man Sagman, he's fighting Matt Dawson, big flyweight contest here, maybe a number one contender fight for the promotion. And then we've got Vinny Diaz, who's entering the $10,000 tournament in the bantamweight division. So really excited to hear about both of these guys. But before, you know how we do it on the show. We're here to recap the Canadian performances of the weekend. Once again, a 1-2 week for Canada. But man, what a win was it. Yoann Lennes, the White Lion, my man's from Varennes, Quebec, making his way to the big show with an amazing win. A win that had me stressed out, to be honest, because I looked at the odds. I was like, man, how the hell is this happening? Because I looked at Berlinson just a little bit before, just the Cage Warriors fight and stuff. And like, it was good, but I saw some flaws here and there. And then I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's going to be favorite over Yoann, but I don't see it being more than like a plus minus 150, a way or the other. Okay. But now looking at the odds, it was like Berlinson was minus 500. Yoann was plus 330 something. I was like, oh man, how is he that much of an underdog? Am I stupid? Like, have I seen everything wrong and I'm just tainted by my fandom of Yoann, who I must tell you, I know pretty well personally. So of course I'm rooting for him pretty hard, but man, Yoann came in, was able to land a good takedown early on. And Berlinson was spamming submission, basically spamming submissions from his guard. He had a good guillotine. Yoann was able to go to the other side. Berlinson came back, regarded, was throwing arm bars and stuff. And Yoann was able to stay calm, defend all that. Berlinson walked his way to the cage, was able to rise up. And then when they got back up, Yoann just took his game plan and threw it out the window. It was all about jabs and distance. That was the game plan against his opponent. He knew he had the reach and stuff. He said, fuck that. I'm planting my feet and I'm knocking him out Izzy style against Whitaker. And that's exactly what he did with the pull right and finishing with the hook after it, the hook that the opponent never basically saw because they were exchanging, and he was able to have like that weird angle where the hook comes from nowhere and you just see it at the last second. And he floored his opponent, couple of shots with the ground and pound, and man, it was all over and the contract was signed. Like on that night of the contender series, up until then there was a quite boring fight, then another boring fight with a highlight reel finish. Then a really good back and forth fight, but a split decision where probably the wrong guy won. And then Yoann just comes out and knocks the guy out in under 2 minutes in the first round. Highlight reel finish. That's what they ask for. When you go on the contender series, that's what they ask for, man. And Yoann just came out, got the job done, got the contract. He's undefeated, CFFC champion, now UFC fighter, huge prospect from Quebec to follow. If you're from Canada, you need to follow this guy. He's one of the next guys up, and for sure, man, the guy you want to root for. So humble, so genuine in the way that he speaks, and he's really upfront about his emotions, his hard work, and even, man, his English has gotten so much better. He's out there calling his replays and doing an amazing interview, and man, how can we not be super happy for this guy? I love him dearly. Like I said, he's my friend. And fuck yeah, Yoannis, we're in the UFC, my man. Let's fucking go. Then, Achilles, the biggest favorite on the card, man. Ah, oh, shit, that hurts. That hurts because he did so good in the first round. Came out super aggressive. You know, Achilles style, I would compare him to Aaron Jeffrey a little bit in the sense that he likes to put on heavy pressure and stalk his opponents and land super big power. And he's super happy to clinch up and then release the clinch, land some combinations, go back into the clinch. Always put damage on his opponent, but also physically wear on them. And he was fighting a pretty inexperienced Chinese fighter, Ma Echate, who, to be quite honest, was really good. It was a revelation on that card because Achilles was super close to finishing the fight in the first round. And I feel like if the referee jumped the gun a little early, maybe there could even have been a stoppage at a point. But of course, the referee did his job well. He shouldn't have stopped this fight in the first round. And that's what he didn't do. And Maishate had the chance to fight back at a better second round and basically tired up Achilles a lot. And after he had him tired up, started landing. And to be honest, Achilles just came in a defensive shell for the third round. It was a really, really tough third round where like he could have bounced back and took the fight from his opponent because it was clearly 1-1 after two. But the damage that Maishate was able to land in the second round really put Achilles in a defensive shell, which did not happen to Maishate after the first round. So props to the Chinese fighter for being able to power through a very, very rough first round to come back and score the huge upset win. Like he was almost 10-1 underdog in that fight. It's by far one of the biggest MMA upsets of 2021, and it's gonna be the biggest Canadian upset of the year, like by far. So Achilles, man, rough one for him. He's gonna be back. He's a really good fighter. He's still young in his career, only 8 pro fights, so he's gonna go back to BFL or anywhere else and get some fights in and come back for sure. I'm not even worried about him for a second, but it sucks to come in as the huge favorite and everybody's basically expecting you to win that fight, and then you just lose it in a way that, man, he did good in the first round and then it all turned around and he was never able to regain his momentum back. So tough one for him. Still open for the best for him, and like he's got a bright future in front of him. I'm not even worried about that. It's just a tough break for that one on the contender series, like where the goal is that close and you come up short. But man, you see some guys that had their losses on the contender series and grew from them and came back even stronger, and now they're in the UFC and they're thriving. So I'm sure it's going to be the same thing for Achilles. He's going to come back stronger, but that's a tough one for him. And then Jesse Arnett was fighting for a title against Denis Lavrentiev in Parouche Fighting Championship. That was in Abu Dhabi. We had a YouTube live stream, and man, I'm sad about that one. You all know Jesse Arnett's my homie from Calgary. I love him dearly. Every time he came to Quebec, we had the nights where we chilled at the hotel. I was always, like when Arnett was in Quebec, I made sure to go out of my way to go see him, to go hang out with him, because he's such a good guy, such a fun guy to be around. And him and his all crew, the coach TJ, his brother Cody, Curtis Demars, now they had Nate Marquardt with them. That should have been really fun too, but like every, and Michaela too, a shout out to Michaela, but everybody that's around Jesse Arnett are such fun people and cool people to be around. So like it pains me to watch this, to be honest, because once again he started off really well, and I feel like, man, that's the thing with the big cat. If he's able to get into his striking flow, he almost never wins. And that's sad because he's a good striker and he was the more active fighter in that first round. And he was stalking his opponent, keeping a good range and landing kicks and starting to even landing combinations. He started off the fight by touching with kicks, touching with jabs, touching with straight lefts, but then was able to start landing combinations, start building on his success. But when that happens, we've seen it in the Manis fight. When that happens, he kind of gets confident and you can catch him. You can catch him slipping. And that's exactly what Lavrentiev did. Was able to land a magnificent spinning back fist that dropped Jesse Arnett and then deliver ungodly amounts of punishment on the ground. I was absolutely pissed off at the referee. He should have stopped it way earlier, and I'm pretty sure that Jesse would tell me to fuck off while I'm saying that. But man, he got dropped, had some damage against him, and there's a moment that Jesse was basically just eating punches in the face, and he was trying to move, and yes, he was trying to intelligently defend himself, but it wasn't working. It was not working. He was just eating punches, and even if you're trying to move, if it's not working, you stop the fight. You don't want to see more damage. And it went to a point where Lavrentiev just got mad. I don't know. He saw that the fight wasn't getting stopped, and he said, oh, these punches aren't working. I better start elbowing him in the face. And that's where he elbowed him in the face a couple of times and busted him wide open. And, like, at the end, there was blood everywhere. It was just a horrible scene to see. To be honest, I hated it. Every fucking second of it, I absolutely hated it. And, man, what are you going to say about that? That's a tough one for Jesse, man. Fuck. That guy, he had his shot in the UFC, got blocked from going to the UFC by Stéphane Patry, who was the TKO promoter, and didn't want to let him go now because he probably wasn't his manager or some fucking shady shit that Patry does. So, such fucking bullshit, because he was going to the UFC in his peak. He hadn't lost to Manis and all these guys yet. Now he's getting older, man. He's getting older, and I know he loves it. I know he loves to train. He's passionate about it. But he still has the name, the street cred, that they're going to book him against Denis Larventiev and guys like that, even on the regional scene. If you look at his fights, every guy he fought, even the guys he beat, like Boudexdam and Brave or UAE, I don't quite remember, but one fight in Abu Dhabi, he won his last one against Elias Boudexdam. That was a really good opponent, man, and he defeated him. But the thing is that they're not matching Jesse Arnett against, like, inexperienced guys. He's not going to have any GIF matchups. He's always going to go out there and fight the toughest guy in every promotion, probably fight for the belt in his first fight and stuff like that. And, man, when you're fighting at this level, even outside the UFC, he's basically fighting at a UFC level outside the UFC right now. Lavrentiev is a guy that I've had ranked in my, like, top 100 in the world in at 135 for years, basically for years, and he's still there. He could be in the UFC tomorrow and win some fights. I'm absolutely convinced about that. So what are you gonna do, man? It's just sad that I don't even mind that Jesse goes and fight and gets finished. It's like, man, when he's taking that much punishment, just fucking stop the fight. I want to see my friend get all busted up and, like, all bloodied and fucking, like, just stop the fight, man. When the fight's done, just fucking stop it. That was trash. I don't know if his referee was the other fool from the UFC fight night. I didn't look, but shit, that was bad refereeing. I absolutely hated it, and I hope my buddy Jesse is okay. So that's it. That's it for the performances of the week from Canadian fighters. We are now speaking with Vinny Diaz, Gabe Sagman. So enjoy the podcast and stay tuned, because there's a bonus episode this week, because I got too many interviews in the bank before the Samurai and BTC shows, and I want every one of them to be out because they're, like, previewing fights. So I won't release them after the fights are done. So bonus episode this week, probably tomorrow. We're speaking to two Samurai guys, Pat Connors and Matthew Rusniak. So stay tuned for that one. And a word from our sponsors now, and then moving on with the interviews this week. Thanks a lot to you. Thanks to Manscaped. Thanks to everybody. Support for the MMA Talk Show is brought to you by Manscaped, the champions of the world in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and they just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. That's 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code MMATALK at manscaped.com. Just imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bedroom. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance, the craftsmanship, and details on the 4.0 is next level. And when you're a fighter, you gotta have some balls. Whether you train MMA, boxing, or jiu-jitsu, you will experience times where you just need to grab your balls and power through. Your balls will always be there for you, but who's there for your balls? For me, it's Manscaped. They allow me to take care of my balls and make sure that they are in their best shape at all time, because I never know when I might need them. With the help of Manscaped, I can now be confident that my balls look good, smell good, and are always ready to help me attain peak performance in combat sport. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. I now feel confident shaving my boys. This upgraded trimmer also includes a multi-function on and off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim to additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. Didn't I even mention the wireless charging? This new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery last longer. Man, if you've been using the same nut trimmer on your face for years, you've been doing it wrong. Nobody wants to end up with pubes in their mouths. That's why it's time for you to get your own ball, hair, and body trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence with some nice, smooth boys. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MMATALK at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code MMATALK. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. Hey, what's up, guys? Here we are. We're back with a guy who's going to be competing in the BTC $10,000 Bantamweight Tournament, Vinny Diaz. What's up, man?
Not much, bro. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have the chance to speak to you today because I heard about you, man, but I've never had the chance to actually see you fight. So I'm pretty interested in learning more about you today. So first and foremost, man, how's life?
Really good, man. Doing what I love every day. I'm getting to train and getting ready for a fight. Nothing else makes me happier. So everything's great.
That's amazing, man. So you finally made your pro debut in was that June? June or July? Yeah, this summer in a fight that I haven't had the chance to see, unfortunately. I see most Canadian fights out there, but that one I didn't have the chance to see. But it was a first round submission win for you. So I wanted to know, as someone who didn't see the fight, can you tell me like how it went, basically?
Yeah, so we came out, traded a few punches, got a takedown, and got caught up in guard for a little bit, just kind of worked some ground and pound, fought off a couple submission attempts from my opponent, made it past his guard, and then just kind of worked through my top pins, eventually getting to submission. So it was pretty pretty textbook as far as ground control goes.
Of course. Nothing. So that's what you call a fight that went according to plan, let's say, like,
yeah,
that.
It was exactly kind of what we trained. Nothing crazy, but it was a very technical execution. It was pretty perfect performance.
For sure. And it looked like it was against a pretty good opponent because I believe he won his second fight like less than 14 days after. I'm just looking at his topology right now.
He's good, man. He was, I know he's fought pro boxing. He has a lot of Muay Thai experience. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Like, he was no slouch by any means, but we were able to get it done pretty easily. So, hats off to him. I respect him, and I'm glad he took the fight. But, yeah, the guy definitely knows what he's doing.
And where was that fight?
Nashville.
Oh, Nashville.
Yeah.
How did you end up fighting in the States, like for a pretty underground promotion like this on your first fight?
So basically, one of my coaches was down in Pennsylvania. Like, he's from Toronto, but he knows these like Pennsylvania is all obviously like a hotbed for wrestling. Like, they have some of the best wrestling in the world, and they develop like Olympic champions, national champions, like crazy. And he was down there, and he told me to come out, so I hopped on a plane and just went down to Pennsylvania. We didn't really have anything planned, and I was there for a couple of weeks, and I was doing really well. Like, training was just going amazing, and he was like, man, we got to get you a fight. So I started messaging promoters. Like, I went on Tapology, and I just kind of looked up all the upcoming shows, and I would find the name of a promotion on Tapology. I would go on Instagram and I'd message them. And I did that for about 3 hours one day, just like between training sessions. I'd just message. And this guy got back to me with an opportunity. So we took it. I was there for about 2 weeks. Got the opportunity for the fight. Had about 4 more weeks to go through camp, and then we flew down to from Pittsburgh to Nashville, and that's pretty much how it came up. It was very random, to be honest. Like, it wasn't planned out or anything.
Yeah, but it's still pretty cool, though, right?
Yeah, no.
Like, even back in July, it was a different time than now, let's say, like that. Like, now they're starting to let us train anymore, a little more freely and stuff. But even this summer, they were starting that, but there was still, like, some restrictions, some things going on. So for you to just have the chance to go to the States, to be in the States where there have been like all less restrictions and stuff for the whole pandemic, and even having the chance to squeeze in a fight, man, that's pretty prolific, let's say like that.
That was the whole reason my coach was down there. He was just tired of all the bullshit down here, and he wanted us to be able to go somewhere where we could, like, actually train without having to worry about all the restrictions. So I was like, yeah, man, like, let's go, fuck this, let's get some good training in. And it, honestly, like, one thing led to another, and it all worked out for the best,
for sure, man. Who's your coach?
So that coach that I was currently talking about is Evan Boris. He was the one that got me down there and then introduced me to one of the coaches there, Isaac Greeley. They were the two that cornered me for that fight.
That's cool, man. It's a good experience for sure, man, to be able to go there, fight, train. That's cool. Like you said, really good wrestlers in Pennsylvania too. So now all that happened and you're back in Canada fighting for BTC 13 against a guy named Alejandro Sosa. Who's that guy? Do you know that guy? Because I don't know him either.
Honestly, don't know too much about him. I don't really, to be honest, like, I don't concern myself too much with my opponents. I have a game that I play, and I have things that I do, and I stick to that. I'm not really concerned with who you're going to put in front of me, to be honest.
For sure. So I just pulled him up. He fought, I believe, in 2018, 2019, so before the pandemic. Like, he's 1-1, won by rear naked choke, lost by rear naked choke.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right.
So I don't want you to come here and, like, reveal the game plan or anything, but, like, how do you see this fight playing out if everything goes according to plan?
Honestly, I like to mix everything together. Like, I really like to stand on the feet. I also really like to wrestle. I really like jiu-jitsu. I feel like wherever the fight goes, I'm happy, you know? Like, there's not necessarily one direction I feel like I have to push the fight in. Wherever it goes, I really feel like I have the skill set to have the advantage there.
For sure. And did they give you more details on the tournament except, like, for the first round? Do you know, like, when they're planning to do the second round fights and stuff?
No, honestly, I don't really know yet. For me, it's kind of irrelevant. Like, I know there's a lot of fighters who they get in the gym and prepare for fights, but like, I'm always in the gym, like, 2-3 times a day year round. So I'm not concerned with getting ready for an opportunity. Like, whenever these things come up, like, we're ready to take them. It's same kind of situation that happened in Pennsylvania. Like, I didn't go down there with the intention of fighting, but when an opportunity came up, like, we're more than ready, you know? So I'm not really concerned with when it's going to be or whatever. Like, this is my life, and I'm always in the gym. And it's honestly what makes me happy. So I'm not really concerned with when it's going to be, because, like, whenever it is, we'll be ready.
For sure. Have you seen, like, any other guy in that tournament fight? Like, what do you think about the general bracket, let's say?
I like, honestly, I think most of the guys in the tournament are pretty good. They all have things they do well, and they're all guys to be respected. Nobody should be overlooking anybody in this tournament. I think everybody has, like I said, everybody has things they do well. But like I said before, like, I don't put too much emphasis on who these guys are. I have a skill set and I know what it is, and I really looking forward to getting to test that out. So more than like concerned about who's in here, like I'm more I'm focused on what I'm doing, like much less on what everybody else is doing.
For sure, man. The thing I love about this tournament is, and I heard it like from other people. People were saying, oh, if you're going to do like a tournament and put some money on the line, you should take like some of the most experienced like bantamweights in the country, some people with good records that we know. But to be honest, I really like how this tournament has been made. Like all people that we've heard of and that are young in their careers. So I feel like this tournament will really be like an opportunity for a younger bantamweight fighter to just come out as the top guy in this crop and probably like establish himself as one of the prospects to watch in the country, like one of the next guys that we're going to want to root for and look at in his career. Because I feel like if you come through that old bracket, and you win, you're probably a really good prospect in general.
Well, yeah, it's exactly what it is, right? It's a battle of the prospects. There's a bunch of guys at 135 who've recently gone pro, and essentially what I think the purpose of this tournament is to see which one of these guys is going to be the best in the country, you know? So it makes sense. Like, I get what other people are saying too about, get more experienced guys in there. But there has been a lot of new bantamweights, and it'll be interesting to see how the tournament plays out, you know? Like, a battle of the prospects is something that we don't always get to see, and there's always questions about the new guys, right? Like, guys with a lot of records and a lot of fights, like, there's not as many questions about them. But, like, everybody in this tournament, like, nobody really knows what they're looking at yet, you know? It's a guy with 1-2 fights, like, you don't have a lot of footage on any of the guys. The guys are all new, and the guys are all hungry. You know, everybody wants to prove themselves. So I think that's going to make for a really exciting dynamic.
For sure. So I think you guys are both from the Toronto area.
Yeah.
So who's got the home field advantage in St. Catherine? Like, who's going to be bringing the more people?
Well, I train in Niagara. Like, I drive past the Meridian Center every time I go to Niagara Top Team. So, like, I'm from Toronto, like, born and raised. But, like I said, I drive past the Meridian Center every Monday, every Thursday. Like, I'm in that area. And I got a lot of people coming out. And I know the area well. But to be honest, like, I don't really care about home advantage. Like, my first pro fight was, I didn't know a single person in the building. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have anybody there wearing a t-shirt or calling my name. And, like, that to me doesn't matter. You know, like, I'm there for the fight. I'm focused on technique. Like, I don't really care about crowds cheering, none of that. Like, that's not what gets me excited. Like, fighting is what gets me excited. You know, so, like, the way I see it, that stuff to me is pretty irrelevant. Like, the techniques and the fight is what really gets me going. So, like, I don't know. I didn't feel like I was at any disadvantage last time, and I don't really feel like it's going to have any effect on me this time either.
Cool, man. So you just told me you're going to Niagara Top Team here and there. Who are you training with there? Who are your main guys?
Well, the coach there that I work with is Chris Prickett. He's a great wrestling coach. Like, he's developed some of the highest level wrestlers in Canada. I train a lot with Ligret there. Ligret's probably the best wrestler in, like, around our weight class in the country. He's unbelievable. He has really, really good takedowns, very good defense, very good awareness of wrestling. There's also Alex Moher, who's also a top-tier wrestler. So those guys they're giving me looks that you're going to have a hard time finding in Canada. Like, they are the cream of the crop. They're both, like, extraordinarily good wrestlers. Like, Ligret was on his way to the Olympics before he decided that he wanted to switch to MMA. Alex has always been a stud, so just being in the room with guys like that is something I know not everybody in Canada has access to. So it's that's why I make the drive out there. You know, like, that caliber of wrestler is something that is a privilege to be able to get your hands on.
Ah, for sure, man. I got two friends who moved from Quebec to Niagara to train there, like Zachary Powell and Kevin Bastien.
Oh yeah, I know those guys. Yeah,
they're both a good friend of mine, and they just like they basically moved away from Quebec, saying like we can't find like better, because they're both, let's say Zachary Powell's a big grappler. He loves to grapple. That's what he wants to do in his fight. So it was a really good fit for him and for Kevin too, because he kind of got a wild style a little bit. He's more of a like a brawler. He likes to get it and it back and stuff. So I feel like it's really a good gym for them to help develop their game. But I hear so much good thing about this camp every time like somebody's going down there to train with Chris or train with the guys. They always say the same thing. And the thing I found really cool there is, like you've been saying, there's guys that most, let's say, general MMA fan, we don't really know about them. But like they're so good in one specific discipline that is just crazy to get this. It's like almost like a hidden card, like that you get to train with them and they get to show you all their skills and help you improve their game. Because, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, okay, I'm training with this guy, like super famous UFC fighter, let's say, or fighter that everybody knows, or very notorious coach. But sometimes you just get these people that not everybody knows, but they can bring so much to your game because they're just so good in specific areas.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I go out there too. Like I just, the Brock wrestling team has proven themselves as like the best wrestling team in Canada. So like if you want to get access to good training, like there's no way around it. You either go there or you don't get that type of training. So it's, you're either there or you're not, you know? So like, to me, it's worth making the drive. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's a really, really, really great place. Like I've been able to elevate my game in all sorts of ways out there that I wouldn't be able to if I just were to stay in Toronto.
For sure, my man. So I'm gonna let you go with that. It's been a good time. I'm really happy to have had the chance to speak to you today. But before I let you go, I leave you with the final word, man. Anything you want to say, anybody you want to shout out or anything, the final word is yours.
I want to shout out all the gyms that I train at. Obviously, Niagara Top Team, Grants MMA in Toronto, the Matt Factory Wrestling Club in Pennsylvania. All these guys have been helping me so much, man, and I'm grateful to have access to these guys, and I'm super thankful and happy that they're part of my journey.
For sure, Grants is another great gym too, man.
Yeah,
shout out to all the guys that we have. A couple of guys in. Back in TKO, the TKO days, been a couple of guys that fought there, the Black Hulk.
Yeah.
We had the Trimaliti, Julius Trimaliti.
Yeah, he's there.
We had another Ergus. One. Oh, Ergus. Oh, yeah, Ergus. Exactly, Ergus.
Yeah. So, France is just another piece of the puzzle, you know, like the same way I go to Niagara to work with some of the best wrestlers, like Grants is one of the best boxing gyms that you can go to. So it's just you got to kind of move around a bit to get access to the best, you know.
Yeah, man, and you're making the trips, you're making the sacrifices and stuff, man. With these guys behind you, I think there's probably some good things ahead for you, my man. So I'm really happy to have had the chance to speak to you today, and I'm gonna let you go on that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the chat. I enjoyed it.
Anytime, my man.
All right, bro. Have a good day.
Bye. What's up? We're back with Samurai Gabe Sagman. How's it going, my man?
Doing well, man. Feeling good. Finished up some training not too long ago. So, as I like to say, I stay on go. It's been a good fight camp thus far. Looking to keep it that way. And, yeah, just chilling now.
Cool, man. So I'm gonna start off with the first question, the one that's on everybody's mind. How do you feel about having the MMA promotion in Quebec named after you?
Yeah. it's cool, man. I mean, look, Samurai is like that's like an image that's been like a part of martial arts for a long time. So it's gonna pop up in different avenues, but hey, Samurai, promote what were they called? Just Samurai MMA.
Yeah, Samurai MMA, exactly.
Yeah, if you guys you guys need the real samurai on your card, so let's get a big fight there.
For sure. I already told them about you too. I think you were already under contract or something, but he asked me many times about, like, oh, give me lists of fighters and divisions, and he told me he had lots of 25ers, lots of 35ers.
Perfect.
I told him, you got to look at my man, Samurai Sagman. He's the perfect candidate.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but before then, you'll be fighting at BTC 13. How far is St. Catharines from where you're from exactly?
I believe it's about 40 minutes. Something like that, not too far.
Cool. It's good to know because I'm coming, and that's one thing I wanted to know because we know how far Toronto or Hamilton is, but I've never really been farther than that before. Once in my life, maybe when I was young, I went to Niagara Falls, but I don't remember. So what about that fight, man? You're fighting Matt Dawson, big fight on this card, pretty anticipated. This guy, it's kind of been making noise as a newer flyweight around. You've been around for a while, so how do you feel about this matchup?
I feel, honestly, man, I feel real confident about the matchup. You know, if I'm gonna speak open and honestly, I think I'm just a better, more complete fighter everywhere. Obviously, you know, with my jiu-jitsu, my ground, that's my world. If I get him there, I think it's game over. But even in the stand-up wrestling, even physically, I think I'm likely going to be the bigger, stronger flyweight once the cage door closes. So, you know, I feel good. That being said, I'm not looking past this guy. I've made that mistake with some previous fights, and you know, I give every opponent respect. And, you know, I need to treat this guy like he's the world champ. So I'm coming in prepared.
For sure, man. It's going to be your first fight in a while, but I feel like, did you fight? I got the apple. Yeah, you fought this year. You fought just before the pandemic last time.
My last fight was January last year. So, yeah, that was a good fight. You know, I grinded out the decision, got the win there. And then I was going to make a quick turnaround. I was going to fight in BTC for their flyweight belt in like 6 weeks after that. And then that fight fell through. Their champion pulled out with an injury like a week before weigh-ins. And then, so we rebooked that. That was supposed to happen. We were supposed to rebook that for June of that year. And then, obviously, COVID hit. And, you know, it's been a long layoff, but I've been training hard the whole time. I feel like since that last fight, I'm a completely different fighter. Even now, I've grown leaps and bounds, matured mentally, physically, in every way. So ready to show people what I've been working on.
For sure. Since you touched on that title fight, is that the goal here? Like, do you wish to win this fight and then be able to get to finally fight for that BTC belt?
Well, the goal is UFC. The goal is that I want to be fighting the best guys in the world. Now, yeah, belt would help. Belt would be nice. I mean, I feel like that's one thing that's kind of eluded my career is I feel like I should already have a belt with somebody. But I mean, this one, honestly, man, this one should be for the belt. Like their champion, you know, I don't even want to say the guy's name, but this guy went running. Like, he's fighting these other guys in the States. Like, what's going on here, man? I was supposed to fight for the belt last time. Defend or vacate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. I talked to him briefly, like I thought a month ago. He was on my podcast, and he said that he wanted to fight for BTC maybe once more, but he had his conditions, to be honest. Like, he wanted to fight to be in Oshawa or Peterborough, and then he was going to come back to BTC, but not if it wasn't there, and then all these things. So maybe, like, if it's not working out, do you wish that maybe just, like, they take the belt off from him and maybe just, like, book you in a title fight?
Yeah.
Like, what I wanted to ask briefly was, like, does the name matter, or does, like, the belt matter more to your resume?
No, definitely the name matters more to me than any belt. Like, I want a big name. After this fight, I want a big fight. Like, a UFC vet, somebody that's going to get me recognized. You know what I mean? And I know I'm at that level too. People just haven't seen it yet. I just need to prove it.
For sure. Like, because what are these names, like, in Canada? Because it's a small division, and it's been a while. And I don't even know if, like, the main guys in the division are really still active, to be honest. Like, when you think about, let's say, Yoni Sherbatov, I don't really know what's going on with him. He's one of the better flyweights for sure, but he hasn't fought in a while. I haven't really heard about him. Same thing for, let's say, a James Mancini. He seems like he's kind of focused.
Yeah, that, like, could be maybe Mancini. I don't know. I mean, look, like, 125, 135, I've either fought, or I've either competed with or trained with pretty much most of those guys, you know? So, like Malcolm Gordon, his last win, I got some good working with him. You know, like who's who. So it's, like you said, it's a small talent pool. Like, there's not too many guys, and I don't think it really makes too much sense either that we just, like, keep it in Canada and we're just fighting each other. Like, we got talent here. Let's test it against the world, you know? We can make it.
For sure, man. And especially, like you said, in your division with a smaller talent pool, I feel like if we could, like, sneak a couple people through that they could get to the UFC, that'd be better. I always prefer two Canadians in the UFC to root for than these two guys fighting each other and only getting one, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. And the other thing, too, is, like, with the promotions and the pay, and what they're able to do here, like, why are you going to have two UFC level guys, going to war for basically peanuts? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's cool fights for the fans and stuff, but we all know what the main goal is here. Like, nobody wants to, like you say, it's cool that you've got guys like BTC around, and now there's a new one around that's going to have a show in Niagara in December. It's cool to have all these people around to promote fights, but, like, in the end, I don't think nobody aims to be the BTC champion or of the world for, like, 20 years. Basically, yeah. Everybody wants to get that belt and move on before they get to that belt.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of their goal with BTC as well. Like, they advertise a lot of their champions going on to the UFC. They'll post if somebody makes it onto a contender series. They pride themselves in being a platform to help launch these guys to the next level. So, yeah, I think you're spot on with that.
Yeah, and that's the way to go too. I'm really that's the only way to go, because I don't want to be here and throw shades, but there was once a promotion in my province in Quebec that they really liked their Canadian fighters when they lost, because they could keep them and just not send them over to the UFC. So, like, the final fight before the UFC was almost like the final boss in a video game. He was trying to do everything to match you as bad as possible to make sure that you were not going to win and keep getting him money, basically. But let me talk to you about the training, man. What was it like during the pandemic? Did you have access to a gym, or did you have to scramble like us and trying to see what was around and do what you could, let's say, like that?
Yeah, I had to scramble a little bit. I mean, I'm sure you're aware, with most people, we had our our secret training, you could say.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I mean, a lot of my, I have a lot of people I know that are, you know, competing at a high level, fighting in the UFC. So those guys got to get training in and, you know, professional level, you need to make it happen. So it's what it is.
For sure, man. And let me ask you about one guy. I saw him at DTC. And yeah. I was like, okay, who's that guy? He's pretty popular. Why everybody likes him so much? And then he fought and he was pretty good. And then I talked to him and he has probably an even better personality, even though he's an amazing fighter. It's Mustafa. Please tell me more about this guy, man.
Oh, Mo, I mean, he's a character, right? Like you said, I'm on and off the mats. And for me as a jiu-jitsu professor, it's been like a real pleasure for me teaching him. And because, you know, he was there with Krua Lin for a long time. You know, always being a good fighter, always had that competitive martial arts spirit. But to see him growing, you know, embrace jiu-jitsu and grow in that, and then he got to showcase that in his last fight, like, for me, that was a very proud moment for me, you know, as a teammate, friend, you know, instructor. So yeah, he's just a real good guy to have around, train, part of the team.
Yeah, and that's only one of the few as I learned it.
Yeah, sorry, I was gonna say, as we're on this topic here, I just wanted to add one detail from his last fight. So when he had the armbar, if you recall, he had the armbar and the guy stacking him, and he actually was striking from that position. He punched the guy in the eye. Some people might have noticed. So I told him, I think it might have even been like week of the fight. I told him, like, hey, if this guy has you in like a bad position, he's pressing you on the cage, like, put your knuckle in his eyeballs. Like, just make him uncomfortable, like little things like that. And he did it, man. He punched him in the eye. So I'm going to take some credit for that one.
No, for sure. And that's real good advice, especially for jiu-jitsu, because like, we don't really strike. Like, I do jiu-jitsu. Yeah, that's the main thing I do and I love. And like, we don't strike. And like, as a, let's say, pure jiu-jitsu guy, I wouldn't really think about that stuff if I ever get involved in a MMA fight for whatever reason. So yeah, it's pretty good advice for a guy making his pro debut, and to see that he's just able to absorb the information like that and just go on and do it. That's pretty cool for a guy that's just like making his pro debut like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yup, and like I was saying, he's not the only tough guy on the mats too over there at House of Champions. It's an amazing gym to be in, and just like, for every aspect of MMA, you got amazing grapplers like you. You got amazing striking coaches like Krua Lin and all these other peoples on the mat. Man, from female fighter to men's fighter, UFC fighters, amazing local Canadian fighters, amazing young prospects. Must be something to just like go through these doors and train with all these people.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's just the mentality, and like, I feel like Krua Lin. Obviously, he's known as, you know, striking Muay Thai kickboxing coach, but just the way he's brought these guys up, he's really, like, I see him as a mental coach too. The way he instills confidence and he encourages, you know, all of his fighters, myself included, to believe in yourself, pursue your dreams. Just know that with hard work and dedication and sacrifice, it's attainable. You can do it. And, you know, proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely, man. It's really exciting. Do you guys, except for you and Mustafa, are there other people preparing for some fights that I should look at?
Yeah, there's, I mean, on the same card I'm fighting on, there's another guy, one of my main training partners, Binabi Otoru. He's got his next fight, so Well, watch out for his fight too, man. He's been training hard. He's been looking really sharp. Competing same weight as me, so you know, we've been getting some good rounds in with each other. Steel sharpens steel. So, yeah, that's definitely one to watch out for.
Yeah, for sure. I remember from his Louis Jourdain fight. I was there for the Louis Jourdain fight when he fought in Quebec.
Yeah.
Back then in TKO, and he even though he lost that fight, he showed some promise for sure. So, I'll be looking forward to this performance. He'll be looking to get his first one too against a guy that has got the same record too. And I feel like when you talk about guys that are probably way better than their record, he's up there.
Oh yeah, no, 100%, yeah. Yeah, he hasn't shown nearly what he's capable of. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting then. I can't wait. And I think that's it, man. To be honest, I think that's it. I'm going to leave you with the final word, man. Anything you want to say? Any people you want to shout out? Any statement you want to make? Anything? The floor is yours, my man.
Yeah, man. I mean, just, you know, thanks for having me on. And I'll give a quick shout out to some of the sponsors that have hopped on board so far for this fight. So there's Clouded. They're a dispensary that's just opening up on Lock Street in Hamilton. So, you know, look out for them. You know where to, that's your one-stop shop. You want to cop your loud pack, you hit them up. We got Float Toronto. I'm going to be in with them tonight, getting my float recovery in. We've got Rally Beer Co. They're really cool, functional electrolytic beer. So it's like beer with electrolytes and salts, ideal for people like myself, craft beer lovers who are also high performance athletes. Who else? We got my team. Shout out my team, House of Champions, Cruel Inn. Absolute BJJ. It's my jiu-jitsu program. Shout out to my students, everyone who's going to come support me, watch the fight. You can buy tickets online through Ticketmaster. Use my promo code BTC1, Gabe Sagman. And just know what you can expect for this fight. I'm not going to hide the game plan. I'm going to come forward. I'm going to put pressure on my opponent, and I'm going to look for the finish. I'm going to try to catch him on the chin. I'm going to try to catch his neck, put him away, finish him violently and emphatically.
Amazing, man. And just to touch upon a couple of things you said, that's good that you mentioned the pay-per-view purchasing for people who we're looking forward to purchase the BTC pay-per-view. Really important that, like, you just, even though you don't know the fighters on the card, it's okay. You just, when the screen opens, you see all the name, all the fighters, just pick one, man, and give him some money. Maybe just pick Gabe Sagman. We just had him on the podcast. He's a cool guy. He's cool to discuss with. Just pick him, because guys, they get advantages. They get money from that. And we want everybody to be happy and to make a little more. And so, just use these codes, man, because it pays off for the fighters in the end, and it's really important. And it shows BTC too. Like, oh, if there are plenty of people buying the Gabe Sagman pay-per-view, they know that, oh, people like this Gabe Sagman guy, so they're going to be more happy to offer him some fights, some bigger fights, some higher profile fights on the cards and stuff like that. So that can only help people. And you love beer, man?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big craft beer lover.
Cool, yeah. Man. I might try to. I don't love beer at all, to be quite honest. I'm more of a dispensary guy, like really more of a dispensary guy. Yeah. But man, I might try to find something in Quebec to see if I can bring it over to you back there. If we get to meet, maybe that'd be a post-fight gift from us.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And thank you for those words too, like with the promo and promo codes and stuff like that with the ticket sales. Like it adds up, you know, a little bit goes a long way, and I do pride myself on being a fan favorite, exciting fighter. I come to win, but I come to please the fans. Before I ever started fighting, I was a fan first. So I know what it's like to be in those seats, and you want to be entertained. So I got you.
For sure, man. And like we said, man, we've got MMA in Canada now. Do you remember? Put yourself back a year. Like, think about what you were doing 1 year ago. You were not watching any Canadian fights from your favorite local Canadian fighters that you get to see at the gym and train with and stuff. So, man, just it's time for every fan out there and for every people like me, media, anybody to just push it as far as we could and just, man, make it work for everybody, for every promotion, BTC, Samurai, everyone. We want everybody to succeed because more promotions, that's more fight for the fighters, and we want everybody to fight and everybody to be able to get that record and make it true because, man, yeah. We know what's up with MMA in Canada. We just need that next guy that's going to do like GSP and put the sport even more over to more people. So we're on our way. We've got good talent. We just need to be there to support them. And that's one thing I always try to do. And you're on the list of people we support for sure, man. When you come on the show, you're a friend of the show forever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Appreciate the support. And you know, 100, you're spot on. Support local, support the grassroots. This is where it all starts. So,
yeah. And when you know a guy from his like first or second fight and he makes it all the way to the UFC, you're even like prouder. You're like, I knew this guy. I knew he's from my town or he's from 30 minutes away. And I know him since his first fight. And it's even better, man. Believe me, I've been there. It's way better. So let's encourage our fighters. Big thank you to Samurai Gabe for coming on the podcast. We'll be looking forward to that fight. Big fight on the BTC 13 card against Matt Dawson. We're going to be there. We're going to cover that shit. Thanks a lot, my man.
Thank you. Take care, brother.
Yes. Bye. See you next time.